Welcome to the Message Podcast from Church of the Nazarene. We invite you to subscribe for updates and new episodes. You can find us on most major podcast outlets. Visit cotnaz.org for more info. Our worship services stream weekly on Sundays at 9 a.m. on YouTube. You can also find our live stream at cotnaz.org. Our in-person service times are 9 and 10:30 a.m. We have a campus near Harrisonburg at 1871 Boyers Road. We also have a campus in East Rockingham at 414 South East Side Highway in Elkton. In addition, our Spanish-speaking campus meets on Sundays at 11:45 a.m. at that same 1871 Boyers Road location. Check out our website, cotnaz.org, for more info.
Today, as we dive into our teaching portion, we're going to talk about belief. What we believe guides our thinking, it sets priorities, it directs the course of our lives every day, really. And we see this show up in different ways. Like if you believe the weather report this morning, you didn't need to bring a rain jacket, right? Like it's supposed to be beautiful this afternoon, so you might have been believing the weather and planning for a picnic or something, or a fishing outing, maybe. I don't know who would be doing that, but parents, like we routinely need our children to believe that if they'll just eat their supper, there's dessert afterwards. Don't knock it till you try it. Some days you just got to do what you got to do, right? You see, what we believe causes us to act. It changes it. It changes our behaviors. It causes us to take action. If you're driving into Old 33, the 33 business, and you're not accustomed to that new 25-mile-an-hour zone, and you believe you see a police officer up there, you're going to slam on the brakes because none of us is going 25. I see you. I'm one of them. But you see, what we believe shapes our lives. It directs our actions. Let me ask you about one more belief today. It's a simple question. It's a simple belief, but the implications are way beyond weather reports and incidental speeding tickets or Christmas cards written beside the road. So here's my question for you. You don't have to answer out loud. Just think about this. Process this with me. We're talking about belief. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? We believe in all sorts of things, don't we? Whether it's weather forecasts or whether that explorer up there has really got lights on it or not. Some people believe in aliens. Some people believe there's one sitting beside them today. I've shared before when I was a kid, like I really believed in Santa Claus, like legit. So that belief caused me to take action. So I had this plan one year that I was going to drink all this soda, get the sugar and the caffeine hyped up, and I was going to stay up and catch Santa Claus in the act. I was going to fulfill that belief. Still don't know. I have to get back with you because I fell asleep. You see, what we believe sets the course of our lives. It determines our actions. Some of us believe that Mr. or Mrs. Wright will make our lives complete, that will be fulfilled, all our dreams will come true. So we swipe left, we swipe right, we look up and down, we seek to find that one we believe will make us happy. Some of us believe that getting a college degree will ensure that we have a prosperous future, that we can pursue our vision of the American dream. You see, what we believe guides our thinking, it sets the course of our actions, it establishes priority, it literally changes our lives. And so let me ask you again, do you believe in Jesus? Does your belief in Him show up in your everyday life? Before we continue today, if you answer no to that question today, or maybe you're just not sure, I want you to know that you're welcome here. I want you to hear that. The Bible tells us that our answer to that question, do you believe in Jesus, is really important, like literally a matter of life and death. But we also recognize that coming to belief, coming to faith in Jesus is a journey. It's a journey of prevenient grace, and you're welcome here on that journey. no matter where you are on it. You're welcome here. Today, we're beginning a new teaching series called The Untold Jesus Stories. The Untold Jesus Stories. Throughout this series, over the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at stories that are not literally untold, but are some of the lesser known or lesser understood accounts that we might find in the Gospels. This series is going to focus on some of those stories that maybe we've not stopped and focused on before. The Apostle Paul, later on in the New Testament, when he's writing to Timothy, he gives this instruction about the Word of God. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful. And so we're looking at that and saying, challenge accepted, let's go. So our untold, lesser-known story today is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 30. So this is the next-to-last chapter in John's Gospel. The text will be on the screen, and it'll also be in the YouVersion notes today if you want to follow along there. If you were jumping in and following along with John, chronologically, Jesus, at this point in the gospel, has been crucified, he's been buried, and now he's resurrected, and he's now appearing to his disciples in his resurrected body in his glory post-resurrection. And after this famous appearing, so he also appears to doubting Thomas, right? Thomas was the disciple that said, no, I'm not going to believe until I can literally touch him and see him. Well, Jesus appears to Thomas, and Thomas declares, my Lord and my God. And after that declaration comes our teaching text today at John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So we have this miraculous encounter, this appearing to doubting Thomas before our text. And then after, John just continues with the narrative of how the disciples go on to Galilee to fish, and yet tucked in here, these two verses, like it sounds like they should be in parentheses, right? Like it's almost an aside to the real story. We have an amazing story before and an amazing story after. It's easy to see why we might read right past this, but let's slow down a little bit. Why did John put these two verses here? What is he trying to communicate? What is he trying to get us to see in the midst of this story? Why did he interrupt the story of the flow of thought from appearing to the disciples and fishing in Galilee with this word? Before we go any further, I want us to stop and pray. Because as all Scripture is God-breathed, it's inspired, we believe the same Holy Spirit that calls John to write is here with us today to journey with us to interpret the Scriptures and apply them to our hearts. And so we want to begin there in prayer. So would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that was working through the Apostle John as he's writing down these stories so that we might believe. And so, Lord, that same Spirit that was flowing through John's pen, Lord, is flowing through us today. And so, Lord, we're listening. We're listening. Will you apply the Scriptures to our heart today? Help us to hear your voice through the Scriptures. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, why this little excerpt? One day when we're in glory, we can ask John, but why today? Let's take a journey. Why this little excerpt? What was he trying to get his readers to see? Verse 30 again says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. If you were going to take the Gospel of John and do a journey from beginning to end, you would really recognize and come to see seven very specific signs that John has recorded. It begins early in John in the turning of water into wine in John 2. Then immediately following that, we see Jesus cleansing the temple. That's also recorded in John 2. We see Jesus healing the nobleman's son in John 4. We see the healing of a lame man in John 5. We see Jesus providing and feeding for the multitudes in John 6. And we see Jesus healing a blind man in John 9, and it kind of culminates, if you will, in a sign of raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. And John, the writer, is now recording and recounting Jesus' resurrection appearances. And so John has captured all these amazing stories of Jesus, displays of his supernatural power, of his lordship, of his authority over even death itself. These weren't just magic tricks to draw a crowd. These weren't just signs that were done for a show. These were literally done to reveal who Jesus is. The Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. And in our text today, John is saying, look, there's so much more that I could have told you. There's so much more I could have written down. This isn't the whole story, but this is what you need, you see. There's many more things. I think John was ahead of his time because we hear now on those infomercials, but wait, there's more. John was just ahead of his time. So let's come to 31. So, look, there's more to this story. There's so much more that Jesus did while he was here, but what's the why? What's the why? But these things, he says in verse 31, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So why did John write what he did? Why did he choose the things that he chose, the stories that he recorded? So that his readers might believe. They might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that we might have life in him. So why did he write? That you might have life in Christ. You see, you might believe in Jesus, but our Bibles don't take that for granted. John wrote so that we would believe. He wrote that we would believe Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, our Savior who has dominion over sin, death, and hell. John wrote that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, not a good teacher, not just a prophet, but he is literally God incarnate in the flesh, taking on two whole and perfect natures, so that you will believe. And friends, what John knows and what Jesus came to proclaim and offer us is that when we believe in him as our Lord and our Savior, we have life in his name. We can find forgiveness in him. His life is literally born within us. We're brought into the family of God. You see, to believe in Jesus is to have life in his name. That's the good news of the gospel. You see, this is such an obscure verse in chapter 20. As I was preparing this week, really reminds me of the most famous verse in John's gospel. What does John 3:16 say? John wrote at the end, he says, I've wrote this that you may believe. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, what? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came to give eternal life. John wrote so that we might believe in him and receive it. Friend, when we receive Jesus as Lord, our lives are different. That belief changes us. It sets a different course to our lives. What we believe changes us. We're called to live differently, right? This little obscure verse at the end of his letter makes it perfectly clear why he wrote. All of this, all of these stories, so that you might believe in Jesus, Savior, Lord, and receive life. So let's circle back to our question at the beginning. Do you believe in Jesus? If you answer yes to that question, I have a follow-up question for you. What do you mean by that? Right? Like we say, yes, I believe in Jesus. What does that mean to you? What does that mean? Does that mean we believe he exists? What does that mean? I have a video I want to share that just unpacks this a little bit, that what we mean by that answer matters.
He was born and he became this like prophet for eventually what would become Christianity. And then at the age of 32, he died on the cross, and it's like 3 days later he was resurrected.
I don't have an opinion on Jesus. I believe that religion was just created to control the masses, really.
Jesus is our Lord and Savior that died on the cross for us, for our sins.
Jesus is a person that existed that continues to enrich the lives of people every day.
Jesus is God's son, and he was sent to save our sins.
I think he is a pretty cool guy. He had a peaceful philosophy. I think he's misinterpreted by a lot of people.
He's the savior of this world.
I don't know, because I don't really believe in him, so I don't really think anything of him.
He could have been a real person. I mean, I'm sure he was. I mean, I'm sure he was just, you know, good at what he did or something.
I feel that Jesus is a modern-day scapegoat.
Jesus is God, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just learned that.
Jesus was a man, from what I figure.
Who is Jesus? He was a dude, lived back in the day. Pretty awesome. He had a beard.
He was just kind of a guy with a really unique, positive message as that kind of gave a lot of people a lot of hope.
He probably existed, but I don't believe that he was the Son of God.
He died on the cross for us and saved us and rose again from the dead.
I wanted to sound smart, but...
So what do you mean by that? When you say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, what does that mean for you personally? What does that mean for you? Does that mean that, yeah, like I believe Jesus exists, or... Maybe you believe that Jesus is a friend or someone you should follow and know after a little better. Perhaps you think, yeah, I believe in Jesus so that he'll bless me when I'm on my best behavior. When you say, I believe in Jesus, in your heart of hearts, what do you mean? What do you mean? Did you notice in our teaching text today, verse 31, John is very, very specific about why he's writing, that we would believe. John doesn't say, I've written so that you may believe that Jesus was approximately 5'11 with a good tan, brown hair, and a beard, as the lady highlighted in our video for us. John doesn't write that we would believe, that we would have the historical facts we need to debate the atheist co-workers with. John doesn't write that we would believe that we would have the perfect nailed down theology and we would be able to debate with the church down the street about who was really right. John doesn't even say, I wrote so that you would believe Jesus exists. It's not what he says, right? He doesn't stop at just saying that you would believe in Jesus. He very specifically says, look, I've written all these things, all these signs, all these miracles, all these things are recorded that you would believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. That is a personal acknowledgement. That is a personal relationship. You see, well, what's so important about that? Friends, there is a very big difference between knowledge or awareness of Jesus and about Jesus and believing in him as your Lord and Savior. There's a difference in knowing about him and knowing him personally in a saving relationship. And the Bible tells us that is literally a matter of life and death. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, it's also on the screen. Mark chapter 6, we're going to pick up a story here at verse 2. If we were jumping into Mark's flow of thought of what Jesus has been up to, Jesus has been teaching on a missionary tour, if you will, around the area. He's performing many miracles. He's teaching in towns and villages, and he decides to go home to Nazareth where he grew up. He was going to stop by and teach there. Literally, the folks in his hometown have known Jesus his whole life, right? These people knew a lot about Jesus. They knew the house he grew up in. They knew the games he used to play down the street, right? They probably knew who was the best at tag. They probably remember the time that Jesus maybe fell out of the tree and hurt his arm. The people in Nazareth, man, they know his mama. They ran into half his family at the market the other day. Like, these people know so much about Jesus, but yet for all that knowledge, they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe. Let's jump in our text there at verse 2. It says, when Sabbath came, he, Jesus, began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. Wasn't that, what's this wisdom that's been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters like right here with us? Who is this? You see, the people that knew all the facts about Jesus, had even heard the stories about his teachings, you see, they faced a choice in this moment. They faced a choice. They knew all about him as Jesus, the guy that grew up next door, but they faced a choice. Would they move from knowing about him and his family and all of those things? Would they be willing to move on to knowing him as Savior, Messiah? You see, that's a difference. Because the news of who Jesus is cuts across the grain of our own independence. It doesn't matter how much we know about him. If we don't know him. But when we know him, he is Lord of our lives. We come under his authority. That truth is offensive to us, friends, because it means that he is Lord and I'm not. The people of Nazareth faced a choice that day. They knew all about him, but would they receive him? What's the text say? It says, and they took offense at him. Verse 5 says, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Verse 6, he was amazed at their lack of faith. The people that had known him his whole life. Because they were unwilling to receive Jesus as Lord, they were unwilling to step beyond believing about him, they missed out on the blessing of life that he was there to extend to them. They missed it. They missed it. Friends, to receive life in Jesus is to come to declare to him in a personal relationship that, Lord, I believe that you came, you lived a perfect life, you died a horrible death, paying for our sins, you were buried and resurrected and ever stand to make intercession. I believe in you, Jesus. It's a far different belief than, yeah, I know about him. His picture's on grandma's wall. Do you believe? Do you believe? To receive him, to believe in him as Lord and Savior is the belief that John is talking about in our text. Nothing less. Friends, I feel like we live in a community that would have some similarities to Nazareth. I'm willing to bet if you went around Elkton or around Rockingham County for the most part, and you started asking people, do you believe in Jesus? Like Nazareth, a whole lot of people would say, well, yeah, I know Jesus. Pictures up at grandma's house, right? Sheep on his shoulders. Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus. We went to Bible school together, right? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I talk to him. I pray to him occasionally. Yeah, I know Jesus, like I put up a Christmas tree. Deck the halls with... Yeah, I know Jesus. Church, can I share something that's heavy on my heart? I mean, I'm not native to Elkton, but I'm native to here. It's the same across the county. I love the people here. I love the community here. But what breaks my heart, so many people in our community that we do life with every day, they know a lot about Jesus. I mean, there's 30-some churches here. People here know a lot about Jesus, but they don't believe in him as their Lord and Savior. And friends, just like Nazareth, the blessing of life in Christ is cut off by that unbelief. So many people know so much about Jesus in our community. They've literally grown up with pictures of him in grandma's house and mom and dad's house. They drive past 30 churches to get to work every day. So many people know so much about Jesus, yet our community is still broken. Our families are broken and torn apart. Children are going to school hungry every single day. Addiction ravages families in this community. We are a community that knows so much about him, but we have shut ourselves off from the blessing of his life because we do not believe in him as Lord and Savior. We have stopped short in believing about him and not in him. Look, I'm not pointing fingers. But Jesus said, he was amazed at their unbelief. We've shut off the fountain of blessing of life in Christ because of unbelief. As the band comes forward, as much as that weighs on my heart, as a native of Rockingham, as a new transplant to Elkton, as much as that weighs on my heart, what also weighs heavy on my heart is it's not just a community problem. It's a church problem too. I'm afraid so many times we can get comfortable. We begin to settle for learning more about facts and different things in the scriptures, which are good. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We need to learn more. We need to grow. But I'm afraid so many times, rather than confessing him as Lord and Savior and taking up our cross and following after him, we're content to check the box. Yeah, I went to church. Yeah, I even gave this week. Yeah, I know Jesus. Friends, frankly, it's easier just to learn more facts, more history. It's easier than cross-bearing in the way of Jesus. We can feel good about what we've done, or that we've gone to church, but all the while, Jesus is amazed at our unbelief, our unwillingness to lay down our lives and see him as Lord. Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Friends, in my heart of hearts, I believe that the call of the church, this church and every church right now, I believe our communities are full of people who know about Jesus, but they don't believe in him as Lord. And I think what's happening is that so many people know so much about him. What they are longing for is to see the church live what they say they believe. And I'm talking about me too, okay? This is us. Our community is so hungry to see the church, to see the Christians live out the cross-bearing life of kindness and compassion and service. They're longing to see our belief shape our lives. That we would live the laid down life believing in Jesus as Lord. I think that's the seedbed of the next revival. I do. And I want to be in on it. Friends, do you believe in Jesus today? Not facts about him. Those are important. Not the stories. I mean, they really reveal who he is. We got to know those too. But do you believe that he is Lord? Have you made that profession of faith to him? To say, yes, Jesus, I believe in your life, your death, your resurrection, and that you have come that I might have life. Have you made that commitment? Is that what you believe? Will you lay down your life for him as he has laid down his life for you? Friends, that's our response in belief. So we face a choice today. We can go on knowing about Jesus. We can know Jesus as the portrait at grandma's house, or we can know him intimately and personally. Each one of us has a choice. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray together. I just want to be still in this moment. Because I'm asking the Lord to search my heart. Lord, where am I settling for knowing more about you rather than knowing you personally, rather than laying down my life for you? Where am I settling for knowledge about you, which is good, but forfeiting a saving relationship with you? The Apostle John said, "These things were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you can have life in his name." Friend, are you experiencing life in Jesus today? Do you know that to be true in your life? Are you experiencing the fullness of his Spirit within you, the freedom of his forgiveness and cleansing? Do you know that today for yourself? Do you believe? Do you believe? Are you aware, you know and believe in the awareness of the new identity you have as a child of God, a son, a daughter? Friends, that's the blessing that he came to give. To believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord is to give him full control of our lives. James says later in the New Testament, faith or believing without works is dead. Friends, just like we pump the brakes if we think we see a police car, we take action. We need to respond and live in action in believing and professing Jesus as Lord. Do you believe in Jesus today? Are you ready? Are you ready to go from merely knowing some facts about him, having heard of him from family members or friends? Are you ready to know him personally today? You can. You can. You declare to him today in prayer in the heart of your hearts, Jesus, I believe in you. That you lived the perfect life. You died a criminal's death and made atonement. You paid for my sins on the cross. You were buried, and 3 days later, I believe, Jesus, you rose from the dead. and you stand ever interceding on our behalf. You will one day come again for your children. If you're ready today to make that declaration, I'm going to ask you to respond, to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able and just say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we have so much to learn. So much is revealed about you in your word. But Lord, we want to know that through relationship with you. God, will you convince us, search our hearts for the places where we are settling for mere facts or acquaintances and we're forfeiting intimacy. Lord, John wrote that we might believe in you as Messiah, the Savior, King, the Son of God, that we might experience life. Lord, may we never stop short of that. May we never. We thank you today, Father, and we pray and ask that you would continue to convince us, search us, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Give us a heart for our community, Lord, that needs to step from awareness to saving relationship. Lord, may we be your people who live what we say we believe. And let it be for your glory, Lord Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name. Would you stand and worship with us today?
Thank you so much for listening today. You can email us at info@cotnaz.org for any questions about our church. When you're done listening today, please subscribe to this channel for updates and new episodes.